So, full disclosure, I don't know why this subject fascinates me so much. I've worked at Prairie Public since 2006, and I've basically been reporting on this bug the whole time, like my whole career. I'm like, oh God, it's getting closer and closer.
Hey, I'm Eric Detheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. It's another episode of Prairie Beat.
It's our weekly snapshot, Prairie Beat is, of news from the Prairie Public Newsroom. Danielle, I can kind of guess, but what is on the beat this week?
So I'm afraid you're going to have to indulge me a little bit this week, Eric, because I know there's a lot of things happening in the news. There always are. But this week, I'm going to have to geek out a little bit about bugs.
Bugs? Aren't all the bugs hibernating right now? Do they migrate? I mean, either way, it's too cold for this stuff right now, Danielle.
I know, I'm sorry. But this will be a pretty big story in North Dakota. So the specific bug we're going to talk about is an invasive pest called the emerald ash borer. And years ago now, when I first got this job, I started doing stories on this thing. It's a bright green little Asian beetle that's been moving around the country for years and just decimating the ash tree populations in several states. And if you'll recall, just last week, it was confirmed to have arrived in Fargo. The very first confirmed emerald ash borer was actually found just outside of Jamestown in North Dakota as well back in 2024. And the arrival of this beetle to the state is pretty significant because we don't have a ton of trees here. We're kind of known for our wide open spaces, a lot of farmland and stuff like that. But the trees that we do have, a lot of them, about 90 million to be exact, are ash trees. And since the emerald ash borer, or EAB, is deadly to these trees, that leaves a huge portion of our tree population vulnerable.
Okay, yeah, so you guys on the news team at Prairie Public have been following this for quite a while, quite a long time. And again, just recently with it being confirmed in Fargo, you actually did a story with the city forester who talked about how they've been preparing for this for years.
Yes, precisely. So this week, I wanted to zoom out from Fargo a little bit.
Tom Clays, North Dakota Forest Service, state forester.
Now, Tom Clays says the EAB was first found in Michigan in the United States in the early 2000s. And the way it got there was it pretty much hitchhiked from Asia to the United States through shipping containers. And then the ash trees started dying because they didn't, you know, nobody actually knew that it got here. And since this is a non-native to North America insect, our plant species here are not really evolved to be able to resist or even coexist with these things. So the consequences have been pretty dire.
The adults lay eggs on the bark. The larvae form underneath the bark and they actually start to eat underneath the bark. They eat the xylem and phloem underneath the bark and they wind up girdling the tree. That doesn't happen in 1 year's time. There's usually a couple and up to 3 or 4 or 5 years worth of larvae that have been eating underneath the tree bark. As the population builds up, will eventually kill the tree.
Now, a bit ago, we mentioned how forestry industry leaders have been preparing for the arrival of this pest for the better part of 2 decades. What exactly does that look like?
Right. So ever since this news that the EAB was in North America came out, forestry people everywhere have been laying the groundwork and getting ready for its arrival because it really wasn't a matter of if, but when it showed up in their communities. And since its arrival, it has traveled to 37 states over the past 20 years. Tom Clay says this whole time they've been working on mitigation plans.
Fargo is a good example of that. They have an excellent one. They've been working to remove ash for a number of years and diversify. Many other communities across the state have been doing the same thing. So if you've got a city forestry department or somebody that takes care of street trees, they're already aware of the impacts. They already have been preparing for the most part. Landowners and homeowners are aware of EAB. I think most people have heard of it. Whether or not they've taken a proactive measure and removed or treated an ash tree, that remains to be seen.
Now, a significant neighborhood comes to my mind when I think about big trees in North Dakota. A lot of North Fargo, the oldest parts of the city, have a lot of older and well-established trees. It really sounds like this could be devastating to neighborhoods like that with those sprawling tree canopies. Now, how prevalent is the ash tree in Fargo specifically?
When this story first came out, I spoke with the Fargo City Forester, Scott Ludall, and he explained how the city here has really been aggressive with their diversification efforts. In the city of Fargo proper, I think over 40% of the trees that lined the boulevards in the neighborhood, that was the official, like, initial population there, was ash trees. And so what they've done over the years is they've worked really hard to plant other varieties of trees along those areas, and they've reduced the ash population down to about 21%. But as Tom Clays just said, you know, what happens to trees on private property is up to the landowners and the homeowners. So it's really incumbent upon those folks to figure out what varieties of trees there are on their property and then talk with local experts on how they can diversify their own tree populations.
So it does sound like these communities could be at risk of all their trees dying, all of them?
So in short, yes and no. With a lot of issues, there's always good and bad news. So the bad news, obviously, is that once this pest is well established and in the trees, there isn't much you can do for those specific trees. But the good news is, like Clay said, they've had a 2-decade head start on this thing. So there are treatments that have been developed you can administer to trees preemptively or when the EAB is detected early. And they've been very prolific with setting the traps so they can find these bugs as early as possible. And another bit of good news is that these beetles are not very good at getting around on their own. They don't fly very far distances. And because a lot of our trees aren't interconnected, you know, like that sprawling like forest some states have, the beetles will have a hard time spreading that way. Clay says what's likely to happen is there will be an EAB detection and it'll happen kind of like in fits and starts around the state, but it won't be spreading like wildfire really fast.
The way they're transported from county to county or state to state is the transport of wood products. Very often firewood, things like that. They're underneath the bark. They can move at 75 or 80 miles an hour down an interstate or 50, 60 miles an hour down a state highway. So that's generally how they make those big jumps across the U.S. And now in 36, 37 states across the U.S., you watch their detection locations. And oftentimes it's along a transportation corridor, in the interstate or follows railroad tracks. They are hitchhikers and they can move at the speed that we do.
He also told me that the spread will likely be very slow. So back in the 1960s, Dutch elm disease started claiming American elm trees. There was actually a really big, awesome one in my front yard when I was growing up. And so when that started happening here in North Dakota, they started planting those ash trees everywhere because they grow really fast, they establish themselves really well, and they were trying to get ahead of the elm trees, you know, all dying. But there are still communities in North Dakota that have elm trees that are just starting to see that disease make those trees get sick and die. So that's taken many years to happen. And if you're within like 15, 20 miles of Fargo or the Jamestown area, you still have time. You have plenty of time to get a game plan together for your own property.
So if I'm a landowner or a homeowner, where do I start if I want to see how many ash trees are actually on my property?
Tom Clays told me about a website called the North Dakota Tip Tool. So if you just Google that, it'll come up and it'll show you 166 different communities that have been inventoried there. You can just pull up where you live and you can see how many ash trees there are in your community.
Oh, cool.
And it will actually show you as you zoom in that the location of that community's trees resources. It'll tell you the species, the location on a map. It'll tell you the condition of the tree. And it is actually quite shocking in North Dakota how much green ash mostly are in communities. We had a community in southeastern North Dakota early on. It was 80% ash in that community.
Now for funsies, I looked up my hometown at Devil's Lake just to see how many ash trees are there. And it was about 4,500 or so ash trees there, about roughly 12,600 different sites.
And that is a pretty significant amount of ash trees in just one town. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like they have a pretty solid game plan there. Plant more varieties of different trees, diversification, the name of the game, check out treatment options, and burn local firewood for those summer campfires. Don't import them from other places like the West Coast or something, right? Because those beetles like to hitch a ride. Those bugs may be small, but they certainly have big implications for the state of North Dakota. So all of that is really good to know and quite fascinating too when you think about it. But trees, I mean, you know, I think of my daughter and a book I would read to her every night, and one of the lines was, you know, a tree trunk is the perfect place for quiet thoughts to be thunk. So, you know, a lot of kids, the imagination goes wild sitting under a tree in the summer, and I hope that that kind of thing isn't lost.
Absolutely.
I'll be waiting for you underneath the wishing tree.
Okay, trees, 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 but there's lots of other stuff happening in the region. What other stories are making headlines this week?
There is no panic right now. We're not worried about it.
Governor Armstrong says despite looming budget issues in the next biennium, there are no plans for any allotments.
It definitely is a safety hazard.
The Public Service Commission is investigating a possible abandoned mine near Cartwright, North Dakota. And after 47 years, the Norsk Høstfest is ending. The 2025 festival was its last event. They've cited financial issues and declining attendance.
Yeah, 47 years, not a bad run. I went to my first one a few years ago, and I tried lutefisk for the first time.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad. You know, I was all into it, but then they had the lutefisk competition, and there was just way too much of that wafting in the air. I'm like, I don't know. But it's certainly a big part of North Dakota culture and will certainly be missed. Thank you for all that, Danielle.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check out our online newsroom at news.prairiepublic.org.
Hey, you, listener, thank you for joining us again this week for Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.